So our position is one of victory. That's why Paul could say, even in a prison, I rejoice. If the devil gets Paul locked up in prison, well, that's fine. I mean, he prays, Lord, deliver me from prison. None of us like to be in prison. But as long as he's in prison, well, some of the jailers will get converted. There'll be time to sit down and write the epistles, which he doesn't get time outside. Something good's going to come out of even that. The devil's going to be made a fool of. Lord, give me justice against my enemy. It's in this connection that the Lord said, when I come, will I find people with this faith who believe that whatever the devil does to them, I will either deliver them completely from that or make it work for my good. There's a lovely verse in Psalm 76. Psalm 76, it says, and verse 10, the wrath of man will praise you, O Lord. That means man's anger. God can turn it around to make it fulfill his purpose and praise him. And the rest of man's wrath he will restrain. It says he will gird himself with it. Man's anger. Maybe people are angry with you because you're living for God. Maybe people in your office don't like you because you're an out and out witness for Christ. I know I have many enemies I have had in my workplace and my relatives and Christendom, because I say I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand for the truth. And some of them are angry in so many ways. But the anger of man has always resulted in the glory of God, because I believe God's word. I have faith that the devil will not be able to get an advantage in my life. He may trouble me, he may harass me, he even crucified Jesus Christ. But what is the result of his crucifying Jesus Christ? Salvation for the whole world. What a wonderful thing. The worst thing the devil did, crucifying the Son of God, turned out to be the best thing for the human race. And that is God's demonstration to us that the worst thing that the devil does can only result in good. Will the Son of Man find that type of faith on earth? To believe that that God is always on my side against the devil. So when we see some particular situation, we mustn't just sit back and say, oh well, I'll just accept that. You're not supposed to accept it if it's dishonoring to God. No, you must resist it. When you see a mountain in your way, what are you supposed to do? Oh well, what to do now? No, Jesus said, speak to the mountain and tell it to get out of the way because you want to go through. That's what he told us to do. If you see a mountain in the way, tell it to get out of the way. The hindrances that the devil puts in our path are not signals saying, oh, you better retreat now. No, but they are a challenge to my faith. When the Israelites came to the Red Sea in front of them, what did that indicate? Was the Red Sea an indication that, oh, you better turn back to Egypt now. God's trying to stop you. God was not trying to stop them. The Red Sea was not a signal to retreat and go back to Egypt. It was a challenge to their faith. Can God take me through this sea? Yes, he can. And they went through. And then they came to the River Jordan. How to go across the River Jordan, 600,000 people. That's not a signal to go back to the wilderness. No! Split the river, Lord, and take us through. And they went through. This is what the Bible teaches us. That we're not to sit back and accept conditions as they are. Let me give you an example from the Old Testament. Before I get there, let me read you a verse in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews 6, it speaks about Abraham. And it says about Abraham that when God made a promise to Abraham, verse 13, And he said, I'll surely bless you and I'll surely multiply you. And he said that to him when he was 75 years old. And the first son he got, through which this multiplication of seed could begin, was when he was 100 years old. 25 years after God gave him a promise, he got it. And those 25 years, he just waited. He's called the father of faith, but it says here, and so, Hebrews 6:15, having patiently waited for 25 years, he obtained the promise. See, we live in an age where we want everything done quickly. You know, we have instant coffee, instant tea. Press a button and you get this, and you press a button and you get that. And somehow, particularly those of us who live in the cities, it gets into our system. We get impatient when there's a delay on the roads, if there's a traffic jam and we are delayed by 5 minutes. We have to stand in the traffic for 5 minutes. That looks like 5 hours. We're impatient. We want to get it immediately. We want to get somewhere immediately. We want to get something done immediately. And somehow that gets into our Christian life also. We say, Lord, give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I expect it in the next 2 minutes. Give me holiness. I expect it in the next 2 minutes. Instant holiness. Give me victory over sin. Give me this. Give me that. Overnight, I must get it. Abraham waited 25 years. It was faith with patience. And unfortunately, the emphasis in Christendom today is just faith. What about when Jesus spoke about faith in relation to that widow? What did that widow have? Patience or persistence. Perseverance. He was persistent. She was persistent. Persevering. And that's how she got what she asked for. The same thing with Abraham. God made a promise to him and he kept him waiting 25 years. And he got it after 25 years. And we see here in verse 12, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Faith and patience. You can't inherit the promises with just faith. It's faith plus patience. And very often, the reason we have not inherited the promises is because we've just got faith. And we don't get it. Here it says, if you want to inherit God's promises, you must have faith plus patience. And that patience is manifested in keeping on asking. Maybe for some years for some things, or at least some days. And why do we keep on asking? Because we know we are asking according to God's will. There are certain things we definitely know are God's will. Everything that is good is God's will. Because He's a loving Father. He gives good gifts to those who ask Him. And if I can, God's given me common sense to know what is good. Jesus gave me examples like, don't you know what's good for your children? If they ask you for bread, will you give a stone? If they ask you for fish, will you give a serpent? No. Well, those are the examples He gave me, and that's enough for me. I know what's good. The example He gives me is, what will you give your children as a father? I am a father and I know what I'll give my children. But that's exactly what God wants to give you. What's good for you. I say, Lord, I believe that. I want to believe that you will give me what is good for me. And not something which is bad for me. Never. Because I never give anything bad to my children. I always give that what is good. How much more my Heavenly Father. Much more than me. And so, when I ask for something which I believe is good for me, I keep on asking and I say, Lord, I'll get it. I don't know when you're going to give it to me, but I believe I'm going to get it. I remember when I sought God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I went here and there and I didn't get it. And I said, Lord, I don't want a counterfeit. I don't want somebody to just give me some cheap experience and fool me that I got it. I want the real thing. And if it takes me 10 years, I'm going to wait 10 years, but I'll get the real thing. There are other things like that I prayed for. I remember when I had to leave the Navy and they wouldn't let me go. And I kept asking. And I said, Lord, I'll wait on you. I'll trust you, trust you, trust you. Finally, they let me go. So there are things in life that you may not get if you don't persist. It is God's will for you. You ask for it once in a while, you'll miss it. If it's good for you, God wants you to have it. He's a loving Father. Don't you think God wants you to have a pure thought life? I'll tell you, that's a much more important than physical health. Much, much more important. We'll discover it when we get to heaven. It is God's will. And say, Lord, I want it. I'm going to ask you for it, and I'll never leave you till I get it. Think of you young people decided to seek God for that with all your heart. Like the widow, and say, I'm not going to let the devil get a hold of this part of my life. No. I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to get this property back for God. It belongs to God.